This is breaking news coverage from South Carolina ETV Radio, South Carolina Public Radio. The removal of the Confederate battle flag from the grounds of the State House. I'm Beryl Dakers with historian Dr. Walter Edgar. Yesterday afternoon, Governor Nikki Haley signed into law a bill approved by the legislature to remove this symbol from a memorial to the Confederate dead and to place it in the Confederate Relic Room and Military Museum. Final passage of that bill came in the wee hours Thursday morning. Dr. Edgar, this is indeed a unique historical event, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. This is a signal moment in, ironically, the 150th anniversary year of the American Civil War.
Is there any protocol for this at all, given that this flag is not an official flag of the state?
Well, it's my understanding that an honor guard from the South Carolina Highway Patrol, an official honor guard, will take the flag down. And the flag is square, which makes it different from the normal flags, which are rectangular to take down. It's the folding of it is going to be different. But these gentlemen have been practicing, because the whole idea is to take it down with dignity. Those are the words that the governor used in her remarks.
Well, the crowds are gathered around the monument. There are certainly prescribed areas because barricades have been erected immediately around it, so they are back at a distance. It is understood that the Highway Patrol officers or the law enforcement officers forming the Honor Guard will be the same guard that escorted Senator Clemente Pinckney's casket to the State House for that final viewing.
Yes, I mean, the connection of all of these events is, it really is incredible. I mean, you couldn't have scripted this history, Beryl. You really could not.
We see persons being escorted to the front of the State House steps. I guess for a clear view, I am assuming that these may be members of the families of the Emmanuel Nine?
I believe those are families of the, some of them are family members of families of the Emmanuel Nine. When the debate was going on in the state Senate, three of the African-American senators who have been retired, like Kay Patterson, McKinley Washington, and Senator Ford, they were in the chamber when that bill was passed. So there have been deliberate attempts to reach back to make connections over time. And this has been an evolving story in South Carolina since 1962.
There is an amazingly heavy presence of law enforcement here. I do understand that every precaution is being taken to make sure that this is a peaceful event.
Excuse me. Yes, indeed. And, of course, there are always rumors flying, but the governor's office, the state law enforcement division, the highway patrol, all want this to be not just a dignified event, but a peaceful event.
There's chanting in the background. I'm not sure I can hear exactly what they're saying. It sounds as though some of them are saying, take it down, take it down. Lots of ambient noise there as the crowd is getting a little impatient, but seemingly still waiting very, very orderly for this momentous event to take place. Interestingly, there is no official ceremony here. There's no music being played, no pomp and circumstance.
No, it's lowering the flag. It's almost as if they had taken the words of Father Abram Ryan, who was in many ways the poet laureate of the Lost Cause, and he wrote a poem called The Concord Banner that has these lines: furl that banner, far 'tis weary, round its staff 'tis drooping dreary, furl it, fold it, it is best.
Well, of course, in this morning's paper, we saw a poem or prose written by poet Nikki Finney, who is the daughter of former Supreme Court Justice Ernest Finney, and much of those same sentiments. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. I see that the governor is on the steps now. She is
followed by her husband And I saw former Governor David Beasley.
She's taking the time to greet several of the people who are gathered there, whom we feel are family members as well as legislators and others. In the Finney poem, she says, "We are not free to go on as if nothing happened yesterday, not free to cheer as if all our prayers have finally been answered today. We are free only to search the yonder of each other's faces as we pass by, tip our hat, hold a door ajar, asking silently, who are we now?"
And that speaks to the future. Symbols are very potent, as you know. They're very powerful. That's historically important. But I think the remarks the governor made yesterday at the signing is it's time to move on.
And I think, as I mentioned before, the marks that she made during her State of the State about South Carolina leading the way and showing the nation have become very, very potent in this particular instance. There's sort of a quiet lull of expectation.
Yes, and for those who are just on radio, the crowd stretches back across Gervais Street into Main Street. It's a very large crowd. But the area right around the monument has been cordoned off, and the crowd is surrounding it on three sides. On the State House side are the dignitaries, many of whom, as we just noted, had just arrived.
Yes, the street itself, of course, was cordoned off in front of the State House, and that intersection of Main Street at Gervais down to Assembly and up to Sumter. There was no parking and no traffic there, so.
Yeah, it was, if you were trying to do business in this part of town, it's a good idea not to have been there this morning. Standing next to Governor David Beasley is Mayor Joe Riley of Charleston.
And again, we see former Governor David Hodges also on the steps there. So the governors have assembled once again. We now see the honor guard coming, the high steppers. I believe of the Highway Patrol.
Yes, they're the Highway Patrol, and these individuals were the same ones who carried Senator Pinckney's body in state, to lie in state in the State House.
There's an absolute roar coming up from the crowd as the officialness of this takes place. They are now marching towards the monument and the flag itself across the green expanse.
And the flagpole itself had to be adjusted because initially there was not any way to normally lower the flag, so that had to be fixed so that the flag could be lowered.
Well, the honor guard is there at the enclosure now. The first two gentlemen have broken away and are at the two corners. There, I guess, will be a person stationed at each corner of the enclosure.
Yes, they are forming an honor guard.
It's amazing the number of children in the crowd and the number of people who felt they really wanted their children to be a part of this, to witness this historic event.
Well, I can't see them in the crowd, but I believe my grandson and several of his friends had planned to come down to witness this. The honor guard is formed as a group of soldiers for respect.
And they are now entering the enclosure itself. Two members of the honor guard, presumably the two that the cranking has begun.
And the flag is coming down.
Again, amid huge uproar from the attending crowd. It will be interesting to see how they do unfurl this and fold it.
Well, as I was told by a member of the governor's staff, they had been practicing because it is a square flag. It's not a traditional rectangular flag. But they have been practicing.
And they are now executing this particular exercise of folding it.
Very, very precise.
Very meticulously. Shouts of USA, USA, USA coming from the crowd. This is an amazing, amazing event to witness. Very carefully, nothing hurried about this action.
No, and of course the honor guard, as all honor guards do, are wearing white gloves. The flag is being rolled.
The rolling is complete. They are now tying it with what seems to be a white cord or ribbon. And the crowd is singing goodbye. It's just the spontaneous, a spontaneous but heartfelt, I guess, measure of song there. Now, the flag from here is going to be handed over to Alan Roberson, who is the director of the South Carolina Confederate Relic Room and Military Museum. The honor guard has exited the square, encircling the monument. And the march away from the monument has begun.
Very precise. And the highway patrolmen are wearing dress uniforms. Those are not their ordinary. With the military belt, it's called a Sam Brown belt, goes back to the 19th century in its design.
They are going back towards the steps of the State House, where, as we have mentioned, members of the Emmanuel 9 victims' families have a front row seat, as do the former governors and Governor Haley.
And Alan Roberson of the...
The handoff now to Alan Roberson of the Confederate Relic Room and Museum. And applause begun by former Governor David Beasley.
And the director is being escorted by Highway Patrol officers.
Now he seems to be going back into the State House, perhaps, with this coveted flag, the new treasure.
Governor Haley, excuse me, just shook Governor Hodges' hand and Governor Beasley's hand. Two governors who were involved with the flag issue.
You see embraces among the family members. I think the crowd is hesitant to leave. They are expectantly looking for whatever else is to come here, but that's pretty much it, folks. There will be no ceremony. And
that really was it. It was simple. It was dignified. And again, that was a term that was used in the debate, and also the governor pointed out, and the flag is now on the way to the Confederate Relic Room and Military Museum.
The only flags I see in this crowd apparently are the U.S. flag.
Yes, but there were some people who were... I did see some Confederate battle flags in the there's one right there in the audience. So there are some folks there who were not very happy about this particular moment.
The audience really mirrors the face of South Carolina. We see people of all ages, all races, all demographics here gathered at this event. And as I said, very, very reluctant to disperse, it seems. They're still there, savoring the moment or regretting the moment, but there in a curious kind of solidarity at this event.
Well, I think everyone there, regardless of what they felt, knew this was a historic moment in the history of the state of South Carolina. There's no question about that.
And despite the sweltering temperature there, as we reach these near 100 degree temperatures, they don't seem to be in a hurry to move. There are some umbrellas scattered among the crowd, and
not for rain, but in the old 19th century, umbrellas were used to keep you in the shade.
Walter, have there been ceremonies attached to the movement or removal of other monuments and accoutrements from the State House grounds?
Not to my knowledge. There have been incredible ceremonies with the dedication of monuments. The Wade Hampton Monument, the African American Monument. One of the oldest monuments, of course, is the one for the Palmetto Regiment that fought in the Mexican War. So the dedication ceremonies, we haven't had anything quite like this.
And we probably will not see this kind of gathering again. Dignitaries are still there, of course, chatting among themselves. Again, I see Mayor Riley and the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Representative Joe Neal, Representative Jerry Govan, many familiar faces in the crowd, familiar to many of us now from watching the long, long hours of debate in the legislature prior to this final momentous decision.
Well, David Beasley staked his political career on taking down the flag, and many say that his stand cost him re-election. And when he took that stand, he was supported by every former living governor.
Well, he's there. I guess in some ways this is a vindication, since it is something that the persons there, it is a statewide decision now.
Yes.
For better or worse, no matter what side you're on, the state has come together to make this law. We've been listening to breaking news coverage of the removal from the State House grounds of the Confederate battle flag. The flag will be moved to the Confederate Relic Room and Military Museum in Columbia. We'd like very much to thank historian Dr. Walter Edgar for joining us this morning. For ETV Radio, South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Beryl Dacres. We will now resume our regularly scheduled programming.